Welcome into the Uteni Baseball Show. We are glad to have you here with us every week talking baseball. I'm your host, Anthony, and we've got a fun show in store today. We're reviewing the first month of the baseball season, and boy, oh boy, was it a good month. It started with a series in Seoul, South Korea, and ended with a B delay. So today, let's do an MLB April in review, and I know just the guys for it. Of course, I'm talking about my brothers in baseball and co-hosts, Parker and Adam. Happy May, fellas. How are we?
Not doing too bad. Not doing too bad, Anthony. It was a good first month of baseball. I am optimistic for my Red Sox. I'm also optimistic for just kind of how well the season's gone and how much interesting stuff we got going on. Super excited for today's show. I was really happy when you brought up the fact that we'd be doing a month in review. So, I don't know. I'm riding high today. Adam, how are you doing?
We're going well, lads. Love the first month of baseball. Rangers now have a winning record. The AL West is looking a little dicey. I would hoping that the second month of the season goes a little better for your World Series champions.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the AL West. They're in my crosshairs as it comes on, as pertains to this episode.
Hold on, got to make a note. Okay, World Series champions already brought up this evening. Check. All right, done.
Well, we don't want to waste any time. You know, the viewers come here, they know what they're going to get, and we want to give it to them quick, right?
Absolutely. Everyone, please keep listening. Don't leave. Well, guys, as you both alluded to, very excited to talk tonight about April, the last month for Major League Baseball. A lot went on. We saw umpire stuff. We saw big wins. We saw no hit. We saw a lot of surprises, a lot of things that not only took us by surprise, but things that have been, quite frankly, huge bummers, right? So, but that's okay. We're going to talk about it all today. Today's a really unique show, folks. What we're going to do here on the Uteni Baseball Show is at the end of every month, we're going to take this time to review kind of what happened in the last month of baseball, and we're going to have a really robust discussion about some of the things that are catching our eye around the game each and every month. So I could tell, you know, from what Parker just said, kind of conversations I've had with Adam too, these are episodes we're really excited about because we get into the game and, you know, the things that are really catching your eye that are really getting us energized. So definitely follow along with us. And as we go through this stuff today, we're going to be playing kind of these little like listing game sort of segments here. So at the end, feel free to go ahead and look up some of the players and teams that we're talking about and see what they're up to. Perhaps you go ahead and want to dive into a new player or team after these in review type episodes. But before we get into all that fun, we really can't do anything until we get our scouting report today, right, Adam? So Adam, why don't you go ahead and give us the scouting report for this evening?
Would love to, and it's a nice quick one this evening. It is, who is the MLB all-time stolen base leader?
Okay.
Love it. That's a good one. Very simple, and looking forward to covering that here at the end of our show. But fellas, let's dive into it. It's been, Parker, you kind of said it's been an exciting April in baseball. It has been a month in which we've seen the highest of highs, quite frankly, and the lowest of lows, cough, cough, White Sox. But we have a lot to cover today because in our first section of the show today, I want to focus on kind of what are the biggest surprises over the last month as we started this baseball season, but then what are some of those just big bummers, things that we were just shocked to see and maybe didn't work out quite well. So what we're going to do today, at least in this first half of the show, we're going to go around, do round robin. We're going to talk about some of our biggest surprises and talk through those. And then we're going to talk about the biggest bummers that each of us had. So good news first. So why don't we start with the biggest surprises? And Parker, I'm going to go to you. Why don't you tell us from your perspective here in April or in April, what was the biggest surprise for you?
Yeah. No. So, well, first of all, I just want to throw out there, this is a little bonus one. Major League Baseball was played in four different countries since the beginning of the baseball season, which is just the very, very barely tail end of March through all of April. So that was fun. We had games in Korea, Mexico City, of course, United States and Canada. So that was really fun. We got to see a lot of people who maybe not get to see a Major League Baseball game, actually get involved and get to go see a big league game for the first time, maybe. But I got to say, my biggest surprise so far of the season, I'm going to keep this one. This is my homer take of the day, all right? This is the one that I'm going to stick with my Red Sox and get it out of the way early. But I think it's deserved because the Boston Red Sox lead all of baseball with a 2.58 ERA from their pitching staff as a whole, which second place at the Seattle Mariners being a 2.96 really it's not even particularly close. The Red Sox are kind of running away right now with the team ERA title, if that's even a thing, which it probably isn't. But not only that, Red Sox pitchers have thrown the fifth most innings of any team in baseball with 289. So it's not like we're looking at a smaller sample size than any other team. You know, obviously all the teams have play a similar amount of innings, but the Red Sox are out there dealing, and I personally think that it's due to their new leadership structure and what they've got going on, not only in the front office, but also on the coaching side of things. So in case anybody didn't know, the Red Sox brought in Craig Breslow, a former pitcher and World Series champion with the Red Sox, to lead their front office as their president of baseball operations. Along with Craig Breslow, they hired pitching coach, who formerly of the San Francisco Giants, did a lot of great work with the San Francisco Giants, Andrew Bailey, who coincidentally was on the same pitching staff as Craig Breslow when they won the World Series in 2013. So they went with not quite homegrown, but familiar faces in the coaching and front office departments, and it seems to have paid dividends. The Red Sox have significantly cut down on the amount of fastballs that they're throwing. They seem to be a team that's very focused on secondary stuff, throwing a lot of breaking pitches, keeping a lot of hitters off balance, all of that has come the emergence of guys like Cutter Crawford, who currently has the best, or at least in the last few days had the best ERA in baseball. And Tanner Houck, who personally is my favorite emergence of this entire time, and seeing one of my favorite players on my favorite team do as good as he's ever done in his career. So that's my pick for biggest surprise. The Red Sox pitching staff, we thought we weren't going to get much out of them this year, and we've gotten a lot out of them.
We sure have, Parker. That one, that's a great pick, because I think when you look at the Red Sox and you just look at how they were coming into the season, quite frankly, the rotation wasn't even coming into the season anything to write home about. I mean, and that's looking at guys like Brian Bello, Lucas Giolito, Brian Mata, right? Nick Pivetta, Garrett Whitlock, guys that were going to be considered for this rotation. Folks, all those guys are on the injured list. So when you look at this rotation, right now, and you're seeing, you know, Cooper Criswell, Chase Anderson, Cutter Crawford, Josh Winkowski. You're like, how in the world did they get here? I mean, that speaks to how a team develops their players, and that I got to say, it's refreshing to see from the Red Sox, who quite frankly kind of need something like this right now.
Yeah, Cutter Crawford. I pulled up the numbers so that I wasn't, you know, slandering my own statistics. Cutter Crawford is second in the big leagues with a 1.56 ERA right now, but he is leading the big leagues in WAR for pitchers. So, you know, just an absolute breakout year from a guy that you didn't see that coming from.
Absolutely, and it certainly helps that Cutter Crawford is possibly the best pitcher name of all time.
He does throw a cutter, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty good cutter.
I love it. Adam, biggest surprise for you here in April?
I'm not going to go with a player, a team. I'm not going to go with a certain side of the team. I'm going to go with a whole division, Anthony, and the biggest surprise for me is, and it's a question, is the American League Central, I don't know, good this year? You know, I come into baseball, I only joined last year, and I understood that the joke was that division was bad, and it's not because of the White Sox, Anthony, but I think it was just throughout the division, and the Twins they ran away with it last year. They had a 45% chance, and they still do, to take that division despite being fourth, but we have the Guardians up the top, the Royals using that $100+ million from the offseason, currently sitting in second. You know, the Utini Show's own Eric Eilerson's Detroit Tigers coming in third, and despite a 7-game winning streak, the Minnesota Twins are still fourth. And I just wanted to point out and give a little bit of love and, you know, surprise love really to the Central Division of the American League, because they all seem to be doing quite well. Caveat is what it is. However, that's what I have to say. I'm not coming out with stats. I'm not a savant like you and Parker. I come from the face level, and I'm like, hey, the Central ain't bad this year, lads. It's actually pretty good. And, you know, we look at the way too early playoff odds, the way too early wild card odds, and they're sitting there, or they're sitting just outside of it, which is pretty crazy when you compare it to last year. That's my biggest surprise.
You're certainly on. You're certainly onto something there, Adam. And you know, as someone who watches the Hail Central a lot for obvious reasons, I could tell you a couple things. Number one, it's the only division that has four of the five teams over 500, and it's the only division right now where four of the five teams have a plus run differential. So
I'm so glad you mentioned that run differential, because it's so big when it comes to determining like quality of team.
100%. And you know, my concern with AL Central, it is right to ask, like, hey, how good really is this division, especially in a division where, I mean, for the last 3 years, it's the doldrums of baseball. But one of the things I wonder about this, being a AL Central observer, is really which of these teams are going to stick throughout 2024. You know, I think Cleveland's offense has been rather surprising. We can always count on them be developing great pitching. Kansas City Royals piecing it together. They've been trying to piece it together and build around Bobby Witt Jr. I think you're starting to see those pieces come together a little bit. Their pitching has been in the offseason, let me just grab a pitcher here, grab a pitcher there, grab from the bargain shelf and see what I can put together. And they've actually done that quite well. And the Detroit Tigers are finally kind of coming into their own. They're a team that was themselves rebuilding. I think they're finally getting somewhere with their team. So it could all be happening at the right time for the AL Central. Wrong time for the White Sox, which is unfortunate.
But, now, honestly, I would argue that it's the right time for the White Sox. Like, if you're going to be fully rebuilding your team, maybe when the rest of the division is super good, like, maybe that's the time to do it. Like, you know, don't spend unnecessary resources on trying to compete. Like, this division right now is absolutely nuts. The Twins have won 10 straight games. Like, I'm looking at the Red Sox are literally on a flight to Minnesota right now, to Minneapolis, and I'm just panicking right now, because the whole story last year for me as a Red Sox fan, I was coping all year with the fact that, oh, the Red Sox are in third, the Red Sox are in fourth, but if they were in the AL Central, they'd be in first place, or they'd be tied for first or something like that. That's not the case this year. The Red Sox at 18-14 are third place in the AL East. They'd be fourth place right now in the AL Central. So I'm really impressed with this, not only the rest of the division, but specifically in the Minnesota Twins' ability to go to, they literally were sitting at 7-13, and everybody was like, are the Twins done? Like, is there a reign? I don't want to call it a reign of terror, but they've been one of the more consistent teams in the AL Central over the last few years. Well, they're right back in it. They are half a game behind the Detroit Tigers, half a game out of the wild card right now, and like that team has clawed itself back from nothing in April. No deficit in April is anything that's super damning, but the Twins are in this, and they are the fourth place team in that division that just seems stronger and stronger by the day.
They sure do, and a lot of teams really deserve those honors of looking stronger and stronger as time goes on. And I will say, you know, a lot of the review shows that we do throughout the baseball season, we're going to know a lot more about these teams. It's always odd doing it in April, because they always say you really know about a team by the time you get to Memorial Day, and we're not quite there yet. But the early results out of the AL Central, certainly to Adam's point, look pretty good. My biggest surprise, guys. So I kind of took a different route on this one. I'm going to have to say my biggest surprise so far in 2024 here in April was the umpires. And it's kind of an unconventional choice, but and I must say, for as long as I've been following this sport and watching the games as often as I do, I am very shocked with how just the umpiring has been here in this month. I mean, and it could be anything from just absolutely like missed calls in the strike zone, out of the strike zone. I've seen it more in the last month than I ever remember seeing it. And then you add on top of it just like really weird situations. Like, we had that situation in New York, I believe it was probably a week, about only a week ago, yeah, April 24th, where we had a situation between umpire Hunter Wendelstedt and Aaron Boone. Essentially, Wendelstedt said to the dugout, hey, you talk one more time, you're out of here, Aaron. Well, the guy freaking sitting behind Aaron in the stands yelled, and Hunter Wendelstedt went ahead and ejected him when Aaron didn't truly say anything, and it's on camera, like we have evidence of it. And what bothered me, quite frankly, is that Hunter Wendelstedt like doubled down, even though we all knew what actually happened. Like, why wouldn't you? People would feel better about it if he just came out and said, oh, yeah, you know what? I messed up. Totally on me. I thought it was Aaron. So sorry. People would have been like, well, not great, but yeah, you know, good for him. But for him to double down when we have evidence, like, it's like that combined with the bad calls, I'm thinking, like, umpires, when it comes to automatic balls and strikes, you're not doing yourself any favors.
I completely agree. And I think one thing that I always go back to with umpire accountability is the famous imperfect game with Armando Galarraga and Jim Joyce blowing the call at first base. About 30 minutes after that game, Jim Joyce went into a press conference and he said on several occasions, I kicked the call. I messed it up. I feel bad. I robbed that young man of a perfect game. Blah, blah. Like, he went on and on about how he, like, hardcore accountability to the most pure definition of the word. And to this day, in 2024, almost none of the vitriol or ire toward that situation is directed at Jim Joyce, at least in my experience. Most people just want MLB to rectify the call and make it a recognized official perfect game in the eyes of Major League Baseball and at the Cooperstown Hall of Fame. So that goes to show you what can happen when there is a large-scale accountability toward a mistake that an umpire makes. But unfortunately, the times that we live in, umpires are under more scrutiny than they ever have been. Social media is the worst thing to ever happen to umpires in the current state that they are in. We have umpire scorecard on Twitter. We have instant replay of every single play that takes place on a baseball diamond. And we have K-zones on basically every single broadcast across MLB. So while I do not envy umpires in the slightest for the job that they are asked to do and the fact that every single year they are given more things that they are held accountable for and pitch clocks and replay and things like that, there's got to be some form of accountability. There's got to be some form of grading scale. I'm not even going full relegation system or anything like that, but if you're bad at calling balls and strikes, maybe you weren't allowed behind the plate.
100%. And let me say this, why it's the biggest surprise for me is because, like I said, it's just the frequency with which it's happening is quite surprising just in the first month of play. Now, of course, Parker, you bring up a great point, right? People are on umpires, social media, yada, yada, but objectively speaking, we're seeing more of it. But I guess I'll wrap up by saying, and this is important, the job's hard. Like, let's also be honest, like, the job is hard. So, you know, I don't want to sit here and just crap on umpires. What they do is very difficult, and the scrutiny they face is hard. It's a very difficult job. But having said that, of course, like you said, Parker, accountability is certainly key. All right, fellas. That was our biggest surprises. Let's go to biggest bummers. Parker, in April, what was your biggest bummer?
Well, I got two last place teams in my crosshairs for this one, and two last place teams that I got to say I was not expecting to see in last place at the end of the first month of the season. I have the Tampa Bay Rays and the Houston Astros. And those are two teams that at the beginning of the year, I in no way considered them to be teams that would not make the playoffs. I thought that the Rays would at least contend for a wild card. It's very hard to do so in this AL East that we have going on here, especially the way that most of the teams really have shown out. Like, the Blue Jays and the Rays are both below 500, but they're not dead in the water below 500. But the Rays just really have not won very many baseball games. Like, right now in their last 10 games, they're 2-8. They're sitting on a 14-18 record with a .438 win percentage, and they're 6.5 games back of the Baltimore Orioles sitting in first place. So it's just not a great showing from them so far. And then the other team that I have is the Houston Astros. They're 10-20 with a .333 win percentage. Again, 6.5 games back of their division leader. And in their last 10 games, they're sitting at 4-6. So just not great showings from these two teams. But I will say, there's a reason. And the reason for both of them is that the pitching just has not been there. Both of those teams over the course of their last decade have been absolute pillars of consistency when it comes to putting quality arms and quality starts and quality relievers on the mound. And the Astros have an entire pitching staff on the injured list. And that's going to hurt you in the long run. Astros, I think, have a little bit of hope moving forward, as they do have Justin Verlander coming back, and they can expect some help as that pertains. And Framber Valdez, of course, you can't sleep on him as well. He's a literal ace on almost any team you put him on in baseball. So there's hope for the Houston Astros. And I think maybe in August we might be looking back and being like, wow, how crazy were we on doubting the Astros? Look at how consistent they've been. But it's a little surprising to see these two pillars of consistency as far down as they are.
You know, it's a good point. And the Astros, I think, are the most interesting. And I, if quite frankly, if you would have not picked them already. I would have picked them as the biggest bummer too, because this is a team that perennially is a team that you see in the ALCS and competitive, and you expect that when you open your eyes, the Astros will be there at the end. But one thing that's hard about baseball is, you know, you have a lot of these front offices that want to build a winner over the long term, and that's just hard to do. And I think we need to come to terms with the fact that maybe we're getting to the point with the Astros where they're going to start to regress a little bit. And I would never hope that on any team at all. I think it's great for team to be competitive every year. But Adam, right, of course, Adam hopes. But what I will say, though, is you look at this team, and Alex Bregman's in a contract year having a terrible start to the season. Jose Altuve's just really not hitting like he used to. I mean, you have guys that you turn the calendar to 2025 may not be on this team. Jose Abreu was designated to AAA. Veteran Jose Abreu, former White Sox, former MVP,
negative OPS yes. plus Jose Abreu.
Yes. So I would like to think they turn it around, but you know what they say, you win and lose a division in April, right? And these games count, and what they're doing in April could very well inform where they're sitting in the standing, and Adam will be thrilled.
Could be more right there, Anthony. I will wish everything upon them Stros. Everyone knows why. I'm a diehard fan of your World Series champions, the Texas Rangers, and you know, I don't really have anything to add statistically or through thorough analysis that you two have both provided. I just lol. Next. My biggest, you know, for me, I'm going to look at the Dodgers for this section of tonight's podcast. And, you know, I look at the NL West, and they're naturally sitting at top. They have a win-loss record of, you know, 20 and 13. Their last 10, they've gone 8-2. But for me, I look at a team that is essentially built upon superstars. And what I kind of expected going into the first month of the MLB season is that their losses would be in the single digits. And I wouldn't be surprised if they would have been low single digits, mid single digits. But they're sitting there with 13 losses. And maybe I want too much. Maybe I'm just a fan of a superstar team that I want to just blow through the whole division for my own picks at the start of the year. But I just expected a little bit more. And, you know, Shohei's hitting and Mookie's hitting and et cetera, but I just do more Dodgers for me. And I just wanted them to spend all that money, take in, you know, the unicorn of baseball. Check out our earlier episode on the unicorn, Shohei Ohtani. But I just wanted them to just run with it and run through the NL West because it's funny, and then run through the NL and then ultimately beat my Texas Rangers in the World Series so I get the pick at the end of the year. But That's my pick. It's just the Dodgers. Anthony, I expected a little bit more.
Well, hey, you know what? I could see where you're coming from there, and I think you may be getting it, quite frankly, here soon, because they are 8-2 over the last 10, and I will say, or when you look at that division, the Diamondbacks have been certainly underwhelming. You know, they're starting the season at 14-18 and sitting fourth, so I don't anticipate that will stay that way with the Diamondbacks, but I think, you know, when you see what the Dodgers' struggles are this year, they yeah, they're certainly letting up a fair amount of runs. The pitching could certainly be better on their side. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has certainly turned it around in his last since his first start in Korea didn't go very well. His sense has been absolutely rock solid. I think he's sitting at like a 1.46 ERA since that start. But they're 9-8 at home, and you can't do that.
Defend the homeland.
You just can't.
Yeah, no. So the Dodgers are interesting to me because while yes, they're not quite on a 100 win pace, I think that they are just a 23 headed monster. Like, kind of, we're waiting on these guys to come back from injury. When you look at their probably weakest part, it's definitely, like Anthony said, the pitching. They're ranked 10th. They're ranked 10th in MLB in team ERA at 3.53. And then if you look at their injured list, it is stacked full of basically a full pitching rotation. Like, when you look at guys like Walker Buehler and Connor Brogdon and Clayton Kershaw, Dustin May, Bobby Miller, all these guys are on the injured list, and at some point they're going to be back. So I think that it doesn't go, it's only up from here for these Dodgers. But to your point, Adam, when you sign guys like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, when you sign guys like Shohei Ohtani, when you already have guys like Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, maybe be on a 100 win pace at the end of April. Sure, I totally agree with that. Can't Can't look away from that 606 win percentage, though. That's pretty impressive. They do not have the best run differential, though. Best run differential in baseball mm-hmm. is a plus 50 from those your Kansas City Royals.
Wow. Yikes. Thank you, Bobby Wood Jr. So here's the thing, though, that it's so funny because my thought literally escaped my brain because now I'm thinking about Bobby Wood Jr. So forget anything that I was going to say. Obviously, Bobby Wood on my mind. So let's go ahead and move on to my biggest bummer, which I am going to be a homer, but not. What's the opposite?
Is this the opposite of right. like a not homer?
A not homer? Am I going to be an anti homer right now? Because my biggest bummer is just the White Sox somehow got worse, guys. I mean, and this is not even just as a fan. This is just as a baseball observer. You had a team last year that won 61 games, was absolutely horrendous, and fans, including myself, were like, there is no way in hell this is getting any worse. Well, the Sox were like, hold my beer. And they are now sitting at 6-25, a 194 winning percentage. They're already 14 and a half games back with a negative 84 run differential. And I think what's been most disappointing about this team, though, is when Chris Getz took over as GM, you know, him and Pedro Grifol basically built a whole new brain trust of coaching, of coaches on the staff, of people in the front office that were committed to righting the ship, righting the culture, and really improving on the team's defense and baseball IQ, two foundational things. Now, culture-wise, all signs say that it has gotten better, which there's evidence of that. But I'll tell you what, the team is still struggling defensively. They're still making fundamental mistakes in the field. We're talking like college-level fundamental mistakes, things you should know when you're coming up and learning baseball. And their offense just now has started to light up a little bit with the addition of Tommy Pham, who they signed on a minor league deal and is now with the team. So prospects don't look great right now for the White Sox. It could be that they have a similar record or potentially worse come season's end, and it sure as heck is disappointing.
Yeah, those Chicago White Sox, man. So when you look at their team pitching right now, like one of my favorite little stats that I like looking at is innings pitched, because we all play the same amount of games, right? All the teams play the same amount of games. And so theoretically, you play the same amount of innings. But obviously, with baseball, you have that added benefit of sometimes you skip that last half of that ninth inning if you are winning or losing in the respective home ballpark. And when you look at the innings pitched currently among Major League Baseball teams, the least amount of innings pitched, the first four teams are all teams that have won a lot of games. So they're winning in the ninth inning. They're not even sending that pitcher out. They're saving 20 to 25 pitches for their honestly most important relievers at the end of a baseball game. It's the Braves, the Twins, the Brewers, the White Sox. The Braves, the Twins, and the Brewers. Number four team is the White Sox with 269 innings pitched. And unfortunately, the opposite is true for them. You know, you're losing games as early as you possibly can kind of thing. And it's disappointing because when you think about some of the most historic baseball teams in all of the game's history, the White Sox are there, man. And when when guys like Eloy Jimenez go down for what, the fifth straight season or whatever it is now, like, yeah. It's going to be hard. It's terrible. And you hate to see it. There's a little bit of sparks of happiness there. Yeah, sweeping the Rays, the walk-off home run from Andrew Benintendi with one of the most electric calls that I've ever heard on that walk-off. And then guys like Tommy Pham recently joining the team and kind of, contributing. There's some decent baseball to watch for the dedicated fan, but it is, I feel for you, man. It's not fun right now, Southside Chicago.
It sure is not. And I did remember what my thought was. So go ahead, Adam.
No, I was just going to say, mate, I really do feel for you, and I am encouraged by the strength that you portray in even bringing your White Sox up as a bit of a bummer. But, there's a big silver lining coming up for you, my friend. And, with Jose Abreu being optioned, he's probably not going to play for them Stros again. So there could be a real big homecoming on the horizon for the White Sox. Take that negative 1.5 WAR for 2024 and slot that in.
No.
Could Jose Abreu be the first baseman for your 2025 White Sox? Adam says yes.
I think.
What does the world say?
Okay, here's a real question, Anthony. Would you rather them re-sign Jose Abreu or try to bring Paul Konerko back and see what he can do?
I mean, at this point, I'm banking on Paulie. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was so, you know, before Adam said that, I was going to be like, oh, you know, you guys are so nice. I feel so supported in my time of need. And then Adam drops that crap on me. So you know what? No, screw you guys. Socks suck. I'm in pain. This is the real life that I live.
While you sit there and think about that, I do want to take a second and talk to everybody listening about potentially, definitely the best way to engage with our Youtini community. Because we have a fantastic Discord server. In Discord, you can stay connected to the Youtini crew, fellow fans, and have access to even more opportunities to connect with your fandom. Not only do we have our own baseball channel in Discord, but our Discord community includes something for everybody, whether that's Star Wars, May the 4th coming up, Avatar, movies, TV, books, you name it. Don't wait. Go to Youtini.com or reach out to any of the members of our team to get access to our Discord and expand your fandom.
And just on that, mate, and I love that you wanted to talk about the Discord, because I'm just going to hammer on our presence in the Discord as the Youtini Baseball Show. With access to the Discord, you will get access to what we call the Baseball Press Box. If there is any breaking news, for example, your White Sox sign Jose Abreu for 2025, we will jump into that press box and we will talk all about it. And it's your opportunity as fans to join us, the baseball team, as we dissect the news. It's an audio experience. We'll discuss baseball in real time and you can contribute to that conversation. You know, like, how good is that signing? Over to you, Anthony.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds great. That that whole baseball press box sounds good. And when they do sign Jose Abreu, I promise you that I will not be there. Anyway, moving on. So I did remember my thought from earlier that I totally forgot and gotten lost into the offensive bliss of Bobby Witt Jr. We've brought up twice already about, hey, we have teams that have a whole pitching rotation on the IL. Wonder why that is, right? Go ahead and listen to our previous episode from a couple weeks ago where we talked about pitcher injuries. It's great to revisit it, because I'll tell you what, there's way too many pitchers on the injured list, talking words, and we talked about it. So go check that out. But boys, I want to transition to a new segment that we have that we're going to be doing every month at the conclusion of each baseball month, and that is the baseball stock market, where we're going to be buying stock. We're going to be selling stock. We're going to be talking about who we're high on, who we're low on. We're going to go ahead and run through it all here to wrap up the show by talking about, really, boys, what's going well right now? If you were to buy stock in a player on a team, what are you buying stock in? But also, what stock are you selling? What stock are you like, you know what, this isn't working out? Either they're bad now or they're going to be, you know, not productive in a month, whatever it is. So why don't we start with the stock that we're buying? Parker, just kind of run us through who you're buying stock in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So my stock is going to go 100% full bore into Mason Miller, the closer and big leverage reliever for the Oakland Athletics. Did I think I would be going this way when the season started? Absolutely not. Didn't even know who the guy was. But you know who he is? He's a converted starting pitcher. Last year, he made 6 starts for the Athletics, and it came to the tune of a 110 ERA plus. Okay, that's all right. You know, he wasn't terrible. Well, this year they decided no more of that starting baseball games thing. We don't need you starting baseball games. We need you coming in relief. And that has happened 12 times this year. And in those 12 games, he has posted a 1.26 ERA in 14 and a third innings pitch. In those 14 and a third innings, he's only given up 7 hits and has posted, get ready, this number starts with a 3, a 301 ERA plus. He is 200% better than any other pitcher in Major League Baseball, to the tune of a 0.76 whip. For those of you who don't know, that means only 0.7 base runners per inning pitched. Mason Miller is the truth. He's appointment television. If you haven't taken the time out of your day to watch him, please go watch some of his highlights, because he's throwing 104 miles an hour.
Really good pick. Can't beat that. Mason Miller is the definition of electric. Adam, who are you buying stock in?
Even throughout this episode of recording, Anthony, I've really swapped and I've changed, and I've got a player I'm going to throw out there, and I just need you guys to let me explain why. And it is the Texas Rangers infielder Josh Smith. And there's a reason why I'm putting him forward, because 2024 seems to be, for some reason, the year of Josh Schmidt. Really, probably the very definition of like a team player. Like, you know, you get drafted in 2019 as a shortstop, spent about 3 years in the minors. Like, the Texas Rangers are only paying this man about $750K this year, yet he leads the Texas Rangers, a team known for, you know, smacking bombs and getting runs. He leads the Texas Rangers in OPS, and he's sitting on above 900 OPS. He's, from memory, at least third in runs. He has more home runs. This little man has more home runs than Arms himself, Wyatt Langford, and really a perennial pick for the American League West Rookie of the Year. This dude is just, he's not a man known for his home runs, but he's a man known for getting on base, and he is leading the Texas Rangers with on base percentage. And I just love it because I love the fact that in, you know, roughly 30 games, he has essentially leveled the amount of RBI he got for a full season of games with the Texas Rangers last year. And, you know, for me, I want to see this dude get paid just based on the first month alone. And I do hope that it continues into the next month and it continues all throughout the year. But I just really wanted to show Josh Smith a bit of love and throw some of my stock in him, because I'm going to be honest, I wasn't thinking about Josh Smith a month ago. I knew that Josh Smith existed on this plane of existence, but I didn't know that he would come into the Texas Rangers again this year and lead in essentially all batting statistics in a team that includes the Houston Astros' daddy, Adolis Garcia, you know, Corey Seager, who's in a bit of a slump. I don't really want to talk about that, as he's my favorite player. You know, a team with Marcus Simeon, Langford, Carter. It's the Josh Smith, so I love it.
Good. Really, really good. Love that. Josh Smith. We're buying stock in Josh Smith tonight, folks. I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs, actually. I'm buying stock in the Cubs, which okay. You're probably like, wow, the Sox fans buying stock in the Cubs. Well, there's a reason for this, folks. You know, first off, the Cubs right now currently sit in second behind the Brewers. They're only a game back in the NL Central. They're 19-13. But here's what I'll say about the Cubs. They have overperformed so far in April, given the fact that they have some pretty sizable, pretty notable players on the injured list. So you're looking at Cody Bellinger's on the 10-day. Seiya Suzuki's on the IL. Kyle Hendricks on the IL. That's really, I mean, he hasn't been pitching well this month, so that's really a non-starter. Not really as impactful, but their ace coming into the season, Justin Steele's on the IL, as is, you know, Jordan Wicks, quality reliever for them. Julian Merriweather, also a quality reliever. Drew Smyly, a good kind of fifth rotation guy, extra arm. They're missing some arms and some significant bats, and they still have kept themselves in this month. Now, two people I want to highlight as kind of bright spots for this team in April. I'll start with Michael Busch. Michael Busch, they grabbed over the offseason from the Dodgers, and it was kind of a low buy, kind of high ceiling type of acquisition, and it has paid off. I mean, Michael Busch right now is sporting a 125 weighted runs created plus, six homers, slugging 480. So this is a guy who has really impressed, a guy who came in with almost no expectations, kind of a lottery ticket. But I do have to give big props to Shota Imanaga. So if the Cy Young in the NL was picked today, it's going to Shota. I mean, oh, yeah. The guy is in six starts, 5-0, 34 innings pitched, under one ERA, 0.78 ERA, and he's leaving 90.5% of his runners on base, which is absolutely incredible. So can it be sustained? We'll see. But if you get a couple guys back on that team and the Brewers start to flatline a little bit, you could see them winning the Central at the end of it all.
Yeah, the Cubs just left Boston. They did drop 2 out of 3 to the Boston Red Sox. But don't worry, they went ahead and stole a win on some stupid home plate interference controversy against the Mets the next day. But no, the Cubs have been very impressive. Shota Imanaga comes over and just is better than, honestly, I think anybody thought he was going to be. Who knew he would be probably so far the best Japanese imported pitcher of the offseason. One other guy I want to shed light on is Mike Tauchman. He's got a 161 OPS plus, hit a three-run bomb to tie the game against the Red Sox the other day. He's been absolutely incredible. And that 161 OPS plus is the same exact OPS plus as Josh Smith, the player that Adam just spent all that like deserved time talking about. So, I mean, just comparable levels of production. Big, big fan of this Cubs team. I almost, at the beginning of the season, was that close to picking them to win that division. And you know what? I'm starting to look like I should have done that.
100%. All right, boys, let's get through what stock we're selling here so we have time for our really cool wild pitch today. Parker, what stock are you selling?
Yep. I'm selling on the AL West as a whole, just to keep it as brief as I possibly can. The AL West is not looking too hot this season. Only two teams have plus run differential. The leader in that division is the Seattle Mariners with a plus 9 run differential, and the Rangers have a plus 18 run differential. Everybody else is negative, despite the rise of the Oakland Athletics. And the rise of the Oakland Athletics, even though they are two games under 500, they are in third place, four games above the Los Angeles Angels, who are in fourth place. So, love what the Oakland Athletics are doing, but the AL West as a whole is underperforming.
100%. 100%. Definitely plays into what we were saying earlier about the Astros, who by the end of April usually are the ones leading the charge there, but not the case here in 24. Adam, what stock are you selling?
Man, Puckett, what did I do to deserve such slander like that? All I am is nice to you lads, but my stock...
I pointed out your run differential. It's positive.
Something's positive. Well, the stock that I'm selling, lads, is any stock associated with your Miami Marlins. You know, my baseball knowledge goes back to the start of 2023, and, you know, if I did a big bit of Googling, maybe see they were horrendous before that, but they were a sneaky playoff team last year. And now they are one of three teams with a single digit winning record moving into the second month of baseball. It's just all bad. You know, no one is batting an OPS above 800. You know, they gave Tim Anderson $5 million, Anthony, and, you know, his OPS is sitting at 500. So there we go. 1 million per 100%, you know, OPS. Good for the Marlins there. So, yeah, I'm selling any stock associated with Florida to begin with, selling any stock associated with Miami Marlins. And I'm just going to point out that they got rid of a highly touted GM in Kim. And I do apologize. I'm going to butcher the surname, Kim Ng. And then this happens. So I don't know. I'm putting two and two together here, guys. So sell all stock in the Miami Marlins, put that in the bag, and take it.
I am so glad that you brought up Kim Ng, because it's a hill I'll die on. No offense to Peter Bendix, but they did her dirty. She was good for that team. I do not think it is a coincidence that this is occurring.
World Series champion Kim Ng, by the way. Won a World Series with the 2009 Yankees.
Yeah, that's just...
100%.
Yeah, we both know that Kim would not have signed Tim Anderson. So, that's that.
No, that's a $5 million... Don't get me started on Tim Anderson, okay? $5 million for the worst hitter in baseball last season? Insane. I'm sorry.
And it's crazy.
Look, 100%.
Because this bloke's going to be like playing in Mexico within like the next 8 months. So, Anthony, over to you for your selling of stock.
So, I'm selling stock. This is going to surprise some people, but I just want to be honest here and kind of set the context. Unfortunately, I think I'm selling stock in Mike Trout.
Wow.
I know. And that's shocking, but here's why I'm getting concerned about... Yes, I know. Now, this is why I'm getting concerned about Mike Trout, though. Mike Trout did just go on the injured list. He needs surgery to replace to fix a ligament in his knee. Now, they're saying it's not season-ending, but his history record, it takes him a while to get back from these sort of things. He is a slow healer, as they say. So I'm not entirely sold on him not having a season-ending surgery. But my biggest concern, guys, is he played just 82 games last season, and he has not appeared in more than 119 games since 2019. I mean, he's a talented guy. I mean, he's one of the best players in baseball. He will go down as one of the best players in baseball. But he is no spring chicken. On top of that, I don't know what he's going to be able to do with this Angels team. And I don't know. Are they going to trade him? If they trade him, they're not going to give money to a team to cover his salary. He's making like $34 million for the next 6 years. It's just, it's all heading in the wrong direction, and I'm selling the stock.
I'm so heartbroken about the Mike Trout news, because I think the guy still got it. I mean, he only played 82 games, but he still smacked 18 home runs last season. Even in 2022, which was another season, he only played 119 games. He had 40 home runs, and he's still... Major League Baseball's home run leader this season. He looks like he's stealing bases again. He's hitting one with, he has a 142 OPS plus this season. He's back. Like he, everybody, that was the story around baseball. Mike Trout's back. We can get excited about this again. And he's gone. He's just as quick as that. He's gone. He's probably going to play 65 games this season, maybe.
But and here's the thing. Then I'll end it with this these two things as things to think about. Number one, getting out of LA, it requires him to have a healthy full season to show everyone and show the world this is the same Mike Trout. That's gone out the window. And that's a concern. And number two, I mean, he was having on pace to have a career season. His OPS plus was 142. He already was clocking in 1.2 WAR 3 weeks through into April. I mean, I am just sad. We'll be tracking it, but unfortunately, I gotta sell. Not too comfortable with that right now. All right. Really good. April in review. A lot of good stuff. Looking forward to kind of doing that in 4 weeks and talking about May. We'll see what May holds for Major League Baseball. But it is that time, as it is every week, to go ahead and talk about all the great players and coaches and managers and broadcasters in our great game and jump into Wild Pitch. Adam, why don't you remind the people what this week's Wild Pitch is?
I'd love to remind you of this week's Wild Pitch, my favorite section of the podcast. I need a clubhouse leader. Give me your greatest catcher turned manager in baseball history. And first will be you, Anthony. I know that these bring you joy.
Ah, they do. They do. And I'll be honest with you. This one is special for me because the person I have is, quite frankly, probably my favorite person in all of baseball. So much so that I have met this gentleman. So much so that I have his book signed by him. And I'm very energized by this because as a manager, okay, my Wild Pitch, he's strategic, he's innovative, he's unconventional, experimental, and just downright wacky. Sure, he never played in the majors, but who knew this 1970s minor league catcher would turn into an epic MLB manager? With a career spanning over three decades in professional baseball, he has left an indelible mark on the sport, guiding teams to success through his unconventional methods, driving to spring training in his RV, bringing a full zoo to the ballpark before games, writing lineups to coincide with a hit 1980s song, 8675309. Adam, he might actually be baseball's most interesting man in the world, quite frankly. But in all seriousness, he has consistently demonstrated a willingness to embrace new ideas and challenge conventional wisdom, which we all love, often implementing innovative strategies that have revolutionized the way the game is played. Whether it's employing defensive shifts, utilizing analytics to inform in-game decisions, or experimenting with lineup configurations, he has a knack for staying ahead of the game. He was one of the first managers to do these type of things that we see every single night in this sport. His leadership skills also set him apart. He's one of the best managers in the game when it comes to connecting with his players on a personal level, earning their trust and respect while fostering a positive, collaborative, fun team culture. And players across the board say this about him. They speak highly of his leadership style, and they praise his ability to inspire confidence and a winning mentality in the clubhouse. But lastly, how could you not want a clubhouse leader that was a key figure in helping one of our game's most historic franchises break a 108 World Series drought? That's a winner. That's a leader. That's my guy.
Wow. Anthony,
I love it.
Your wild pitches always blow me away, but you know who else does a great wild pitch? It's Parker, and it's his turn.
Well, I got a tough pitch to follow, but here we go. So over a 19-year career, all in the same city, this player turned manager, as a player, won 10 World Series rings. One for every finger on his two little hands. And besides his four games as a 40-year-old, 2 years after his initial retirement, he played all of his games for the same team. He was a three-time MVP award winner. He is one of three catchers with more than 300 home runs and over 2,000 hits. He has a 125 career OPS plus. He was an 18-time All-Star. I mentioned his 10 World Series rings. He also had three World Series rings that he won as a coach and manager. So, wow, he just really does it all and is really the epitome of winning. He had three separate stints as a manager, including two pennant wins and a 522 win percentage. As a catcher, he caught the only perfect game in World Series history, which is one of three no-hitters that he was able to catch as a catcher. Just speaks volumes to his ability to help the pitching staff that he was in charge of. His potentially most impressive stat is that on 117 occasions, he caught both games of a doubleheader. Easily one of the most significant players and managers in baseball history, he also penned a New York Times best-selling book dedicated to explaining his multitude of spectacularly witty and wise quotes throughout his career. When Adam assigned This Is the Wild Pitch, I immediately knew that this was my pick, and I messaged Eric, who is our deconflictor in these terms. I messaged him before we were done recording. This guy is definitely the epitome of a winner when it comes to baseball.
Man.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to start with you, Anthony, because you said a lot of key buzzwords that really resonated with me. Leadership, innovation, zoo, you know, all these buzzwords that really just hit home. And I really appreciated your wild pitch. And something else I appreciated, Anthony, and this is for you too, Parker, is I've seen Ken Burns' baseball documentary. I've seen it twice now. And a big part of a particular decade in there was a particular man, a particular catcher, a particular manager. And as you were rattling off your stats of a winning mentality there, Parker, I already knew who you spoke to. And this will happen sometimes in wild pitch, as Adam actually, you know, looks at the history of the game and looks at the stats of the game and doesn't just watch it to see huge home runs. And I am sorry, Anthony, because prior knowledge is going to get you on this one, because I need Parker's pick in my clubhouse. Parker, you are the winner of today's wild pitch.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. I brought Yogi Berra to your clubhouse. And if anybody has not read the Yogi book by Yogi Berra, it'll probably take you an hour and a half to get through. It's an awesome recounting of all of his favorite expression. Things like, oh, it really gets late out here, or it really gets late early out here, and just all the other Yogi-isms that he brought to the game of baseball. One of the most beloved players in baseball history. He played 19 seasons as a player. One of those seasons kind of doesn't really count. He played in like 9 games as a New York Met, but every other season of his career was played as a New York Yankee. He was the captain of the New York Yankees at one point, and just an absolute unforgettable player in baseball history. Who did you have? I'm pretty sure I know, Anthony, but who did you have?
I had one of my favorite guys in the whole sport, and that is Mr. Joe Maddon.
Yes.
I did get a chance to meet him. Super cool guy. I love what he's all about. I love the way he carries himself and his vibe. So that was my pick. Yogi Berra, can't go wrong with Yogi. That I know why you reached out to Eric right away. There's obvious reasons. That's an absolutely stupendous pick. All right, guys. So before we go into wrapping the show up with our scouting report, can we just talk about, like, really quick for a second, the whole B delay thing and the B guy, and what a spectacle the Arizona Diamondbacks made of this freaking B guy was the best thing I saw all month.
Yeah, dude, I'm buying stock in Beekeeper Matt. He's the best. That's who I'm buying stock in, man. He's at his son's T-ball game. He's like, hold on real quick, I gotta go throw the first pitch out at the Arizona Diamondbacks game. I'll be right back.
it really was an interesting way to end the month, literally happening on April 30th. Adam?
I love it, and I would give all the money to the Arizona Diamondbacks PR team for what, not only, you know, involving him in the day itself he had the first pitch, he was driven around the ballpark, you know, then the interview was just perfect. But I also think that the crowd in that stadium was just electric, you know, when they're, you know, I think we've all seen the footage, you know, he's getting, you know, they're rising him up into the hive, and everyone's cheering him, and, you know, he took his little face
mask off. They're playing I Need a Hero.
Yes, it was just perfect. And if I may, before we move on, Anthony, we do have to talk about next week's wild pitch. And
yes,
this one's a bit different. There are a lot of MLB teams in around America and Canada, but there are a lot, you know, some of those teams, they double up in cities. You know, some teams like to call themselves Los Angeles when they're clearly Anaheim. You got the Los Angeles A's, no team in Oakland. We've got all these things happening around us. And what I need from you two is that I've just come into a lot of money. I am a selfish billionaire, and I want to build a franchise. And the MLB, for some reason, has given me permission to do so, and I have free reign. I want you to pitch to me a city that does not currently have an MLB team that should have one. And
wow.
This is a little extra point for a creative name. For example, Sacramento What? Get creative, guys.
I every time you throw one of these out here, Adam, I go, oh man, this is great. I'm so excited. This is the best one. And I know next week I'm going to say this is the best one, but this is really the best one.
I'm so excited for this.
Oh man, stay tuned next week for that, folks. That will be a good one. I already know what I'm picking. I'm gonna get to Eric first, but I don't think you're gonna pick this one. So I think I'm safe. All right, guys, we're going long. So much great baseball talk. Let's jump into the scouting report to end the evening. Go ahead and give us the question, the trivia question for our scouting report. And I think Parker and I are going to get this one.
I think so, too. MLB record holder for stolen bases.
Okay, Parker, I'm going to count down and we're going to say it together.
Ricky Henderson.
Henderson. Boom. Yes. Done. What a guy. Ricky Henderson. Doesn't get better than Ricky.
Sorry, guys. That's wrong. I'm just kidding. He also has the MLB record for runs, no way. Unintentional walks, and leadoff home runs. The dude is an animal.
I love it. I love it. Good baseball
talk. Huge episode
today
for the green and gold.
Yeah, absolutely. Green and gold representing on the episode. Well, too bad we can't pick Las Vegas next week for one of our cities. That one won't count. Won't count. All right, folks, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Utini Baseball Show. If you're already a member of the United on Patreon, we greatly appreciate you. Special thank you to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bozinski on our High Council, and our captains, James T., Ashley Inglis, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo for their amazing support. Don't forget, folks, you can interact with our baseball team on X. You can follow the show at Utini Baseball, and you can find each of our individual X handles right there in the show bio. The conversation does not stop here, friends. We are always talking baseball in Discord, so be sure to hop into our baseball channel and join the fun. A huge shout out to our behind the scenes team. We have our editor Kyle for always making us sound great each and every week. And of course, to the two gentlemen here in front of me, Adam and Parker, for being really amazing baseball rocks. Support for this show and all Utini Network podcasts comes from the United Patreon community. At the heart of the Utiniverse, the United is where our most passionate fans gather for a deep exploration of all types of fandom. Star Wars, Marvel, F1, Taylor Swift, baseball. There really is something for everyone and always something new to explore. We'll catch you next week here on the Utini Baseball Show.